Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for WSBT Radio, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat continues on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT, along with Vince D'Addario, Jimmy Rosari, Sean Stiers. Brian Driscoll joins us right now from IrishBreakdown.com. I'm going to talk in a very calm, soothing tone. Try to bring Brian in. I know he needs it right now.
Breathe in, breathe out.
Goose.
How do you feel about that, Brian?
How do you feel? I feel wonderful. Nice and calm and relaxed.
We're going to get to the college football playoff stuff. This is your recruiting day, so I do want to ask you a couple recruiting-based questions before we just unleash the gates of hell and jump into this playoff thing. So let's start with the Janell transfer, wide receiver, and just looking at this with Jay Brunell leaving, that leaves the sophomore and junior classes with a total of one wide receiver, Xavier Watts. So they're taking about three wide receivers per cycle right now. So just the impact that that's going to have on wide receiver recruiting and what you think needs to happen there.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit to the cumulative part. I don't think losing Jay Brunell by itself impacts Notre Dame much. He wasn't going to play up this upcoming season. He didn't come to Notre Dame with the thought process that he would be starting by a sophomore year. His decision wasn't about playing time. But it's the cumulative effect of him, Jordan Johnson, Micah Jones, Kendall Abdur-Rahman, and then how that impacts your future seasons. I don't think any of those moves necessarily has a dramatic impact on the 2021 season, barring injuries. But now you look at it, and you've got Avery Davis is gone after this year. You have four other players that enter their senior season. Some could come back, obviously, the following season. And all of a sudden, you're talking about, well, now these next couple years, you're going to have to recruit some really good players to step in and play as freshmen. Okay, that makes sense to most teams. The problem, however, is that you're talking about a coaching staff whose current receivers coach has shown no ability to get young players ready to play. Dell Alexander has been Notre Dame's receivers coach for four seasons, Sean. In those four seasons, Notre Dame's freshman receivers have caught a grand total of nine passes combined. Yeah. Nine passes. And, you know, so now you're going to have to rely on players for in a program that has not shown the ability to get those young players ready to go. And the whole thing just kind of, it's concerning. There's going to have to be some sort of change, whether that's in how they go about practicing and preparing players or the position coach or whatever the case may be. That or you get into the vicious cycle of now you have to start looking for transfers every year. And that's not really
exactly
where you want to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brian, we know June is a huge month in general, but this year even more so because you know, recruits actually get to come on campus for the first time in like a year and a half. One major recruit that was on campus last weekend, Caleb Evans, cornerback out of Tulsa, looking for a grad transfer landing spot. Where, first of all, how has Notre Dame done with him? What are you hearing there? And, you know, is his commitment to either Notre Dame, Texas, Missouri, is it pending at this point?
That's a very good question, Vince. And right now, I don't think the people at Notre Dame have that answer based on conversations I had as of this afternoon. You know, he's not given any indication to them that he's made a decision or that his decision is going to be Notre Dame. I think that Notre Dame feels like they did everything possible to show him what separates them from Missouri and Texas and even Georgia, who recently offered him a scholarship. It looked like he was in decision-making mode. We were told a couple days ago that we thought he could be in decision-making mode, and then it's just been kind of, you know, crickets ever since then. So I think the telltale sign for me, Vince, is going to be, does he schedule a visit to Georgia or not? If he schedules a visit to Georgia, it tells me he's looking for somewhere else to go. And that means he doesn't like his current options, which is not going to bode well for Notre Dame. If he wraps things up here in the next few days, which he would need to in order to start summer school with the rest of your teammates, then that's going to need to happen. And if Notre Dame's going to be the pick, we're going to know, in my opinion, by the end of the weekend, because he's going to want to start summer school with his teammates. If he doesn't make a decision by then, that's going to tell me that he's still looking for something different, or he's going somewhere else whose summer school doesn't start on Monday.
Donovan Heinisch, Kurt's younger brother, is the latest commit. Can we kind of expect about the same as the same kind of play as Kurt Heinisch, or maybe any differences in the two that you see, Brian?
I mean, the differences, Sean, it's kind of spooky how similar they are. The differences are like one, you know, Kurt was a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger. Donovan's a little bit more athletic. But the similarities between their film is really astonishing. I mean, even they both played offensive and defensive line. They wore the same number. If you put Donovan's junior film up and you put Kurt's junior film up from huddle, not sex side by side, and just went play to play, like back and forth, you'd see very little differences. And I think that's part of the reason that Notre Dame made a push for him, honestly. I mean, look, let's be honest about this, all right? There are more physically talented players on the board at defensive tackle that I think Notre Dame could have landed than Donovan Heinisch. But that knowledge of, but I know what I'm going to get. There's also about seven or eight players on the current roster that are more talented than Kurt Heinisch, but they're not going to play over Kurt Heinisch. And I think that's the thing that Notre Dame is looking for is, yeah, maybe we can get a player that's got more physical talent. Maybe he's taller or longer or has a little bit better body. Maybe he's a little bit more athletic, but is he going to bring the same energy every day that we know we're going to get from Donovan? Is he going to bring the same work ethic and the same, you know, attitude and the same, you know, brawler, street fighter type of mentality that is how Kurt Heinisch plays the game? There's always a need for that kind of guy, Sean. And I think that's what Donovan brings to the table. And it's not just because of what Kurt did, but the first time you met Donovan was 5 years ago when you sat in the living room of Kurt trying to convince him to come play for Notre Dame. So you've got a very long-standing relationship with this young man. So you know what you're getting. And I think that they're betting on that. I'm going to take the known against the unknown, and we need that kind of known in our program. And now that Kurt's leaving,
I'm going to stick with the grad transfer conversation. And I know we're going to get you fired up when we start talking about the 12-team situation with the college football playoffs. So I'm going to start the fire here, and I want to ask you about Kane Madden, who is the guard transfer from Marshall. Number one, what are your thoughts on him? And number two, what do you think that means to this offensive line for 2021?
Man, I'm not even fired up about that one anymore, Vince. We've talked about it so much. We talked it on Tuesday. We talked about it on our podcast. I mean, look, here's the deal. The film tells me that he's not good enough to be a difference maker at Notre Dame. Notre Dame thinks he can be a difference maker. I hope that they're right. Because if they're right, he shores up an offensive line that really is the only question mark that I have about this offense going into the season from a personnel standpoint. So if Kane Madden is what the people that ranked him as the second team All-American view, if he's as good as what Pro Football Focus says, if he's as good as what Notre Dame thinks he is, this is a great pickup for Notre Dame. I have my doubts based on film, but I hope he's right. This is one of those times where I hope I'm wrong. You know, like, I think Jack Cohn's going to be way better than everybody else thinks he's going to be. I hope I'm right on that one. And I think every Notre Dame fan should think that hope that I'm right on that one. This is one of those ones that I hope to be wrong about, because if he is that good, this is a big pickup for Notre Dame. And that's, I mean, at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. There's nothing else I can say about him except let's wait to see what happens when we get to September. And hopefully he's as good as advertised.
He's Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com. Vince D'Addario, Sean Stiers as well. Okay, so let's get into the big topic of the day. Proposal to expand the college football playoff to 12 teams. For our listeners maybe who are just tuning in, there's a proposal today that is being discussed. And as we've been speaking for the last 30, 40 minutes or so, the members of the CFP, this committee, including Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick, have been speaking with the media in a teleconference, and we plan to be able to bring you some of that in the last hour of the show tonight. But they're going to be meeting next week to discuss this proposal. Here are the nuts and bolts of it. It calls for a 12-team bracket to include the six highest-ranked conference champions and the six remaining highest-ranked teams determined by the selection committee. Under the proposal for a 12-team format, the four highest-ranked conference champions would be seeded 1 through 4 and get a first-round bye. Teams 5 through 12 would play each other in the first round of the home field of the higher-ranked team. Quarterfinals and semifinals played in bowls, national championship at a neutral site. And the kicker, as far as Notre Dame is concerned, under this proposal, Notre Dame and other independents, and also should add non-conference champions who may end up in the top four, which has happened before. Ohio State and Alabama would not be eligible for a bye, but Notre Dame could not get a bye simply because they are not in a conference and cannot win a conference championship. So 4-12, Brian. I know that you are anti-12 team, but go ahead. The floor is yours.
Well, I think number one, the things that they say this is going to do, it doesn't do at all. Bob Bowlesby talking about how games matter more now. No, they don't, because as Vince pointed out, you know, you think of that 2018 game between Ohio State and Michigan. Ohio State beat Michigan by almost 40, and it wouldn't have mattered because Michigan would still be a playoff team. Think of that great, a better example, the great 2006 game between Ohio State and Clemson, where literally the winner was going to play for a title. Wouldn't matter anymore. Because now, so then you have to ask yourself, okay, what's more important, that we play this grueling game and hopefully win to get a better seed, or do we start a couple guys that are banged up so that way, because we know we're going to be in the playoff anyway, so that way we at least get healthy. I mean, I don't see how in any way this is going to make games more interesting. You know, the Purdue-Ohio State game that had legitimately had an impact on who won the championship in 2018 no longer has a say, because Ohio State can go get their brains beat in by 30 in October by Purdue, and it won't matter because they're still going to get a chance to play for a championship. So I don't think it makes the game better. And here's the other thing is, everybody's like, well, this is good for the Pac-12. No, it's not. Because now, if you're a Pac-12 team and you're still the same Pac-12 you've always been, so let's say it's a 2-loss Oregon team or a 3-loss Washington team, to compete for a championship, you have to now win 17 games or play 17 games, which is something NFL teams were pushing back against having to play. NFL players are having to play. So now college football teams are going to have to play 17 games if you're not one of the top four seeds and you play in a conference championship game. So that just seems just absurd to me. And, you know, there are just so many things wrong with it. And I haven't even got into the parts that are bad for Notre Dame. This just seems, and the whole parity part of it. So this is going to bring about more parity. No, it's not, because now those four seeds are going to get a bye week while the other teams are beating themselves up. And now they're rested. And then the other part of this too, Sean, is they say, like, you know, one of the responses was, well, now more teams can say they made the playoff. Now making the playoff doesn't mean as much, because Now it's like making the NCAA tournament. It used to be, when it was only 32 teams, making the NCAA tournament meant something. And now it's like, okay, well, I don't care if Mike Bray made the NCAA tournament. He's not getting to the Sweet 16. That's what's going to happen in college football. Oh, so what if you made the playoff? You didn't win a game in the playoff. 12 teams make it. You could lose 4 games and make the college football playoff, which is actually true. There have been teams that have lost 4 games that at some point in time have been in the top 12 because of some of the SEC hype and SEC bias. But you're definitely going to get 3 lost teams in the college football playoff. And does anyone think that Coastal Carolina is going to get hot and go beat Alabama? And actually, the greater odds are that, let's say, a 12-seed Coastal Carolina upsets the 5-seed, which now makes Alabama's path even easier. Because Now the fifth, because there's a greater chance that the 5-8 seeds get knocked off by 9-12 than one of those teams beats 1-4. So this isn't going to do anything that they say it's going to do. What this is about, I just wish they'd be honest. Look, do you guys know how much money all these extra games is going to be for us? There's now going to be 11 playoff games compared to 3. Do you know how much money we're going to rake in? Yeah, I know that Oregon may have to play 17 games, but do you know how much money we're going to rake in? At the end of the day, that's all this is about. And Jack Swarbrick had one of the worst comments he could have possibly made, and it was the comment that I sent to you, Sean, which is that now he doesn't have to hear them talk about how Notre Dame plays one less game. I couldn't believe that he said that. Because here's the one less game the one more game that Alabama played the last 6 years, from 2019 to 2014. Western Carolina, the Citadel, Mercer, Chattanooga, Charleston Southern, Western Carolina. Here's those 6 games that Notre Dame didn't have to play compared to Clemson. Wofford, Furman, Citadel, South Carolina State, Wofford, South Carolina State. So now that Notre Dame has a playoff game to replace those games, it's now even.
That's a murderer's lineup right there. Murderer's
lineup.
Yeah,
I know,
teams.
Right? Those Wofford Terriers, man, they might actually score a touchdown against Clemson.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, under what they're, you know, if this goes through, Notre Dame has been beefing up the schedule with Alabama and Ohio State, you know, all these games that they've been adding in future years. Doesn't it make sense just to get rid of them to give yourself a better chance to be undefeated? Because at least if you're Notre Dame and you're undefeated, you'll be in the top 12 someplace, right?
It certainly does for Notre Dame. I mean, because here's the deal. Like, you need to try now position yourself as high as possible from 5 through 12, and there's only 6 spots available. And so, you know, what you want to get yourself – I mean, if you go 12-0 against an easy schedule or 10-2 against a tough schedule, you're still going to be ranked the same. So at least take some of the wear and tear off of your team. and now you run the risk of, you know, those years where you lose 2 games. Well, look, the top 12 teams aren't always going to make it, because there are years when a conference champ or one of those teams
it's
is gonna not going to be a top
down.
12 team.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Yep. So it's just – I just wish they would be honest and just say, look, this is going to make us a ton of money. And in an era where players are going to be making more money, it's going to be good for the players because there's going to be more money to whatever go down the line for them or some nonsense. But this isn't about making the game better. And I can't – and I've yet to see a single scenario in which – like, I knew it was going to expand, but then they were like, hey, what's the worst possible expansion we could do? Yeah, let's go with that. That makes a lot of sense.
What's the motivation for a Notre Dame team going down the stretch? Because you have no chance of getting a bye. So, I mean, hey, we're good at 6.
Well, let's think about this, Vince. So let's say Notre Dame is a 1-loss team and they're ranked 3rd. And they're getting ready to go on the road and play USC. They got about 6 or 7 guys that are pretty banged up. What does that game for USC mean to Notre Dame?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Because if you lose, you're going to drop to 5 or 6 anyway.
Play the JVs.
If you win,
man,
you're going to drop to 5 or 6 anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe you sit 5 or 6 different players. I can't wait to hear all the people that are pro playoff expansion, you know, whining about things like that down the road.
Yep.
And I can't wait till they're like, okay, Oregon lost to Bama in the title game because Oregon was worn the heck out because they had to play after playing 13 regular season games. They get 2 weeks off before they have to make another run, a gauntlet run of 4. The thing that I had, so like my proposal was for some of those teams to have to play 16 games, but it also waited until New Year's Eve to start the playoff, which meant they had almost a month off. Now it's like you're going to have 2 weeks after the season, a team like Oregon who just played 13 games, or a team that loses their conference championship game and played 13 games, is now going to have to win 4 games, 17 games in basically 20 to 21 weeks. And somebody thinks that's good for an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old, a freshman and a sophomore in college? Give me a break. It's ridiculous. And then as we see injuries increase, I can't wait till they're like, we don't know why this is happening. We don't know why there's more injuries and more concussions in college football now. We can't figure it out.
Do you think any part of Jack Swarbrick's, taking one for the team, you know, we'll play in the first round. Well, the first round's almost guaranteed to be a home game for Notre Dame. And I'm wondering, you know, are they going to get all of that revenue for an extra home game?
I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if they're going to have to split the revenue. I know that they're going to get a payout because it's going to be a
sure.
playoff game, but I don't know if they also get extra, money from a home game. I mean, if you want an extra home game from a month, then just schedule your – have 7 home games every year.
If
you want it that badly. It just – it was such a poor response. But, I mean, I do think there's probably some financial benefits to that, and I think at the end of the day you look at it and you say, is this maybe sort of a precursor to them being quote unquote forced to join a conference? You know, is that ultimately like, hey, look, we know that ultimately this is going to expedite that process, but then I'm doing it. Like, hey, I didn't want to do it, but you know, now we don't really have a choice, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of motivations behind it. I don't know that you could accuse him of. At the end of the day, I can only take him at his word that, you know, somehow he thinks this is good for Notre Dame, I guess.
I would assume the revenue thing will be similar to when women's basketball, baseball, the sports that host NCAA tournament games, you know, you put in the bid, you're guaranteeing the NCAA X amount of your gate, and then you get to keep, you know, X amount as well. I would assume it's going to work like that because, you know, everyone's a part of the playoffs. So you happen to be hosting games, but yeah, so I assume there's going to be some, you know, kind of mutual, you know, share.
Then schedule a seventh home game. Just go with a 7-5 schedule. There's plenty of teams you could get on your, especially now that, you know, there is no motivation to play tough games. You know, get rid of that Alabama contract and pick up a MAC school. You can get a MAC school every year of those and play a home game. Just play 7 home games if you really, and then you don't have to split the gate with anybody. You know, there's just some of the things I'm hearing that people are saying are just like, and these are supposedly the leaders of the sport. I mean, oh my gosh, unbelievable.
Yep. Brian Driscoll, IrishBreakdown.com, joins us every Thursday at 5:30. We've been on for a long time now, but I was anticipating it, considering this topic. So, Brian, appreciate it as always. Tell everyone what's going on right now at IrishBreakdown.com. As a result of this, I assume it's going to be quite a bit.
Well, yeah, you know, we didn't really get a chance to dive into the guys that are going to be on campus this weekend, but we'll have a preview tomorrow. We did a podcast today talking about it. This could end up being this is a big month, but this weekend could be the difference between Notre Dame having a good recruiting class that they normally have or a truly elite top five class. So have all that analysis on our podcast is up already, our YouTube channel, I should say, already, and then we'll have written analysis about that tomorrow at IrishBreakdown.com.
Sounds great. Good to talk to you as always. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Brian Driscoll, IrishBreakdown.com. With Vince D'Addario and Jimmy Rizzeri, I'm Sean Stiers. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, I don't know exactly what we will have. I know in the last hour of the show, which we're getting very close to right now, we will have some of the comments from that college football playoff teleconference that was taking place within the last hour that Jack Swarbrick was part of as well. Of course, we've got South Bend Cubs baseball coming up tonight. It is a beautiful night, sun shining outside, and we have got the Barnabys of Mishawaka and Granger South Bend Cubs pregame show coming up at 6:45. Let's take this time out on WSBT South Bend.